This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:18 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So now we're talking about the upcoming Malacca polls and more specifically what form the campaigning might take, because all activities, gatherings and social meetings related to political campaigning for the polls have been banned from October 25th until November 27th, 2021. So basically the whole shebang.
So this was announced by Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin yesterday. It falls under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act 1988. And is in line with the prohibited activities that are listed under Phase 4 of the National Recovery Plan. Now, this hasn't happened in isolation. So this comes close on the heels of several videos that were released over social media. So first, MOA MP Syed Saddiq tweeted a TikTok video that showed Dato' Sri Najib Razak entering a large enclosed hall filled with Barisan Nasional and UMNO banners and supporters. Najib also shared a video on Facebook yesterday where he was seen having a meal surrounded by supporters at an open-air restaurant, many of the patrons not wearing face masks, not observing social distancing. So this has, of course, given a lot of questions in terms of, if we can't even manage this right now, how are we going to manage campaigning?
Yes. And again, I think that the scars of the Sabah state election and the fallout that happened after are definitely still quite fresh. Now, this has not been welcomed by everybody. So, for example, Lim Guan Eng voiced disagreement, saying that this is intended to handicap the opposition and facilitate an early advantage for the government. He also suggested that this move is because of the government's fear of facing voters. He went on to say that if the health minister was worried about another surge of COVID cases in the country, then he wouldn't have allowed the state election to happen in the first place. Now, it's not just DAP. Bersih 2.0, the Coalition for Free and Fair Elections, has also labelled this ban a suppression of democracy. So that's where we find ourselves. We'd like to hear from you, of course. Do you think this move is fair? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And for more, we're crossing over now to Ben Sufian, Programme Director at Merdeka Centre. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
So let's start with this. We just ran through the announced ban. What was your initial reaction to it?
Well, I think it's a sensible ban, because if we look at, you know, what's been going on across the world, you know, even the countries which has already had very high levels of vaccination rates are seeing COVID making a comeback. And so a zero COVID strategy, you know, in many ways is no guarantee for safety. And given the fact that we have an election coming up, and an election we just have in recent memory, just a year ago, we had the memory of the Sabah election and how it was the setup for an upsurge in terms of cases. I think a lot of people genuinely are very worried. Worried not just because of their personal or health safety, but also in terms of what it entails, you know, economically, because, you know, the lockdowns that we have been through under, you know, over this last 1 year, 18 months or so, have been very debilitating for the economy and many people out there. So the concerns are very genuine.
So Sabah has come up a couple of times already. And in many ways, that anger following the rise of cases after the Sabah election is really a narrative that kept following Tan Sri Mohidin Yassin's administration. Do you think this Malacca move is a way to head that off, a reaction to that?
Well, I'm not sure, you know, in terms of the, you know, the thinking within the backroom people that's planning for the election. Certainly not having face-to-face, large-scale mass campaigns certainly would aid parties that have limited grassroots like Bersatu. But then again, it also would limit other parties as well, because it's not as if many people are going to show up. When we look at historical political campaign attendance rates, you know, by and large, you know, maybe only about 20 to 30% of the electorate actually follow these things. So most people actually stay at home, they're picking up stuff on social media, or they've already made up their minds. So a lot of people that attend political events largely are those that are already converted, or people who are getting into the mood of the festivities that come along elections. So, yes, I think to some extent it does help parties that have limited grassroots. But I think given the short nature of campaigns that we have in elections here, even barely 2 weeks, there's not really much that you can mobilize, or, you know, there's not much in terms of how you can move the needle within the 2 weeks. And if any developments happen within a campaign, in these days, things will go viral online and people will get to know without even having to show up at an event.
Could you give us a sense of what the political temperature is like in Melaka at the moment as we head towards nomination day?
Well, I think based on the limited surveys that we are currently embarking over there and speaking to some activists that are already in Melaka and starting to organize for the campaigns across different sites, one gets a sense that the public in many ways is somewhat angry because of the economic difficulties that have unfolded in the wake of the pandemic. And also there's a lot of local grievances, particularly in the socioeconomic front. In part, when we spoke to one person, he said, the people are angry because, you know, we have industries here that became COVID clusters, and because of that, they had severe lockdowns. And yet now these factories continue to be running, and local people aren't really working there. Most of them are foreign workers. So there's a bit of unhappiness over there. And a lot of people are looking at this election as trying to find better leaders that can solve their local problems. So it's not that they're not welcoming the election. I think people will participate in the election, but they will be sensible. So across the board, we see some interest in the election. It hasn't boiled over yet, partly because not sure how the political alignments are going to show up, whether we're going to have a free-for-all multi-corner contest or whether the parties, particularly those in the ruling coalition, will try to paper over their differences and work things through so that they have better chances.
Now, this ban on political gatherings has been criticised by the opposition. They see it as a move that provides an early advantage for the government. What are your thoughts on this?
In many ways, it does, because, you know, we can see that in opposition rallies, in opposition political programmes, they tend to rely on very large charamas where thousands of people show up and listen to their leaders speak. And that, in many ways, as they believe, it's something that lifts the mood and mobilizes the public to listen to their issues and then spread it to other people. So having such an event being banned really takes the oxygen out of their campaign, because there's so much less, I would say, energy that can be transferred online. So one sort of understands why they feel so. But I think there is a reality that you know, the public is still very concerned about COVID. We do know that majority of the Malaccan public actually do not support the idea of having elections right now. They feel it's premature, but it's already thrust onto them. So I think they will still participate, but participate cautiously. But having said that, in terms of, you know, how the political inclinations of the Melaka electorate, you know, pans out, you know, for opposition parties, especially the DAP, I think their support base is still there. So even if they can't hold giant charamas or anything like that, I think people still will come out and vote for them in the areas where they are strong. I think the big challenge is for parties that are competing in the marginal seats, that are in the middle, where there's no indication of who's going to be a clear winner. And those tends to be Bersatu, UMNO, PKR seats.
So following on from this then, what can parties do to run their political campaigns safely and effectively in Melaka?
Well, I think they need to go to the more traditional method of meeting people face-to-face and going house-to-house and trying to, you know, persuade them. And therefore, they should start early, and they don't have to have, you know, a large group, you know, trying to go out and convince people. They need to, I would say, Melayu says, menyantuni pengundi lah, you know, to really speak to and address the voters' concerns directly. It's slower, but it is more human, and it builds the reconnects people after two, three years of the pandemic. That's one way, and besides, you know, having to meet people strengthens the capacity for parties to encourage them, to persuade them to vote, as opposed to things that are moving on social media, that are moving in the online space where there's no participation.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me on.
That was Ben Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, talking to us about the Melaka State polls, or more specifically, the fact that all activities, gatherings and social meetings related to political campaigning have been banned. This is under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act 1988, announced by the Health Minister. And we've been asking you, essentially, do you think this move is fair? We do have a message from Raj.
Raj says, good move. Ceramahs are so old school. Plus, we don't need another Sabah-like catalyst for a COVID surge.
Everyone is scared of Sabah. It's so it's unfortunate. Okay, I think I'm going to commit to this. We don't need another Sabah state election-like catalyst, because I feel sad lumping in the state as a whole with that incident. But this idea of ceramahs as old school is an interesting one, huh? Because it might, I mean, as we barrel, whether we like it or not, towards GE, it's going to be interesting to see how that develops.
And interesting that Ben's suggestion was an even more old school one, which is really just go to people's houses. And I quite like that as a, particularly as a post-pandemic approach.
Yeah, I think it also enables more honesty when you don't necessarily have a microphone in front of you. Honesty from the constituent side. I'm not necessarily saying how it is that the campaigner might feel. Now, keep those thoughts coming. And after this, we're going to have Everyone's a Critic. Sharmila, what's up?
So we'll be reviewing Experiencing Usman Awang, which is KL Pack's first live performance in months and months. Just a tribute to the National Laureate, using his poetry as inspiration for various kinds of performances.
So for that, keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.